spending time thinking through the offer is going to go a long way to not only improving how many subscribers you get, but improving how long they stick around.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with the format, well, every five episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. It could be email or SEO, or like we're doing at the moment, customer retention. And in each episode, we release a new one every Wednesday, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making whatever our current topic is work for you. At the moment, we're spending five episodes exploring customer retention, which weirdly we have never done a little mini series on before. Lots of episodes, but no mini series. It's very exciting to be doing that in a year where customer retention seems to be quite high on everyone's to-do list. In this episode, we're exploring a topic we couldn't have not covered: subscription. Asking the big questions: where does subscription fit in your customer journey? How do you increase subscribers? How do you retain subscribers? What is the strategy that works in subscription? And to help us with all of that, we have an absolute genius who focuses on subscription all the time. He is really giving you tactical advice in this one. Big picture stuff, but a lot of tactical advice too. So make sure you listen right to the end of the episode so you don't miss any of that. And at the very end, I'll be sharing my take on it and giving you a couple of other ways we can help you improve your customer retention too. So stay tuned to the end. Are you drowning in retention tactics and Klaviyo flows, but still can't prove with certainty which ones actually bring customers back? You are suffering from the retention clarity gap. Brands like Health, Heights, and Kilo Health trust Yocto to fix it. Yocto help you go from "we think it's working" to "we know it's working," so you can finally prove your impact. Head to keepopt.com/Yocto to get a personalized retention playbook that actually makes sense to your execs. That's keepopt.com/Yocto. In this episode, I'm chatting with customer retention expert Matthew Holman. Matthew runs Subscription Prescription and is obsessed with getting subscription e-commerce right, helping brands via his newsletter, podcast, and fractional subscription leadership consulting. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Chloe. Great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome to have you on the show. Subscription is such a confusing topic for many. It's always lovely to have an expert on who can guide us through those areas of confusion. But before we get into that, how did you end up in this world of customer retention?
Yeah, I mean, I get to ask that a lot. Like, did I, you know, as a teenager, was I thinking about subscriptions and stuff like that? But definitely not. No, really, it's about the entrepreneur journey. I was a marketing director at an e-com SaaS company, left to go out on my own, joined another subscription software startup company as a co-founder, and for several years working that. The more and more I worked with our own customers to grow their business instead of necessarily all the marketing efforts to get people to sign up, realized that I had a real love and passion for solving the subscription problem. Just kind of felt clear to me what brands should do. So I've worked with hundreds of brands, our own customers there, and consulting kind of felt like the content. I've always loved content and education, and then consulting just felt like the next step in that journey. So there's a big need for it in the space. So I've had quite a lot of success with helping people at this point.
So a cheeky question, and if you want to sit on the fence, I won't be offended. Is subscription done better in the SaaS space or the physical product space?
I would say the SaaS space, just because they've had more practice. And I think that they understand some of the mechanisms of both, like how to sell a subscription, how to onboard someone to a subscription, how to collect data around a subscription. So in many ways, actually, like in our content and education, we try to actually point at SaaS subscriptions, because there's a lot of things around the customer experience that they do infinitely better than CPG physical goods do. And if you just steal a little bit of it, you can actually be wildly successful compared to your peers.
From my own personal experience, I had a feeling you might say that the SaaS is best. I often wonder if it's in the e-commerce space, the CPG space, the physical product space, if we go, well, the product does the work. Why do I have to do the work? You know, like there's the physical product's there. So why should I have to do all this work?
Well, it's such an interesting question, though. If you think in the SaaS space, it's like a really common thing. You could have the most revolutionary sleep tracker app that's ever been invented, and you're literally changing lives. You could literally have the Surgeon General come out and say every person in the country could use it. But what does it matter if people download it, don't understand how to set up a profile, and don't understand how it takes to be successful? So like just simple steps like onboarding people is a huge gap in the CPG space. Like I, you know, bought a sleep supplement lately and I actually was DMing the founder like, wait, how long before bed should I take this? Because it doesn't say on the bottle. And that'd be a common question. Is it 30 minutes? Is it an hour? Is it 5 minutes? Am I going to fall asleep 2 minutes after taking this? So I need to make sure I'm... So just things like that, that's a lot of CPG brands just don't think of. It's like, oh, you open it and you do this. And it's never, ever that simple for consumers.
It's mad, isn't it? I was looking myself at some vitamin supplement thing yesterday and trying to work out when you were supposed to take it during the day. Do you take it before a meal? Do you take it at breakfast? Because it's as weird as it sounds, it's like, I like the idea of the product, but I like getting all that stuff out of the way at breakfast time, you know? Right. It gets very complicated in my world if I have to take supplements at any other time of the day. Is a barrier to me to purchase, trying to find this out. And I had to go through all the FAQs before I could find this seemingly simple piece of advice. So I totally get where you're coming from. But rather than this turn into Chloe and Matthew's ranting about bad subscription, which I mean would be valuable, you are quite well known for saying that subscription isn't really about customer retention. But yet here you are on our customer retention miniseries. So why shouldn't we purely be thinking about subscription as a customer retention tick box?
I think the easiest thing to think about is just, and I'll use like some extreme examples because I think it's easy to understand. It's like, okay, let's say I'm going to go sign up for gym membership because I believe within 3 months, I'll be able to lose 50 pounds of fat and gain 30 pounds of muscle and start dating a supermodel. Because you have an ad that hints that that's possible, or you even have like ads that do say that's possible. And I go in, I sign up, I never do diet, I never do supplement, I work out a little bit, it doesn't happen and I churn, right? As opposed to say like a gym that says like, hey, if you're looking for if you're training for this type of event, we have this type of gear and this equipment and we have staff on hand. The difference is who you attract and how you attract them actually makes retention like infinitely easier. So depending on what our promises are or what our claims are or what our use cases are, it's often just that simple. Another really just basic example, you mentioned vitamins. It's like, okay, protein powder. That's something I talk about a lot is there's a lot of different uses of protein powder. People use them as a meal supplement. They use them for muscle gain. They use them for endurance sports. So if you understand like who retains better out of those three use cases, right? If I know that people that are using my protein powder for meal supplements actually retain 50% or 100% more effectively than the other two, then maybe I should make more ads and copy and offers on my product page that speak to that use case so that I can get more of those people. So it's kind of like you have to understand what is working or what is not working on retention from a customer standpoint, but there's also just, and we'll talk about them, there's a lot of tactics for how you bring people in that has a like immediate net positive benefit on lifetime value and retention.
So, it sounds like we're in agreement. So often when I get asked, what's your top tip for customer retention, Chloe, I'll say, well, recruit the right customers in the first place, because that's where it starts. So with the world of subscription, where does subscription start if our goal is better lifetime value and better customer retention? Is the subscription the first product we sell? Is subscription a product we sell to our best customers? Is a subscription we sell at the second purchase point? Where does subscription fit in this process?
Yeah, so it's really interesting question, and it's one that's debated online a ton and from a lot of brands, because some people don't like trying to do first order subscription offers, or they don't prioritize them. They try to just convert as many customers as possible and then try to sell them subscriptions after the fact. The problem with that, like I get why people like to do that. The problem is if say my website conversion rate is really, really good and it's at 5%, and then I am ridiculously good at converting first-time purchasers or even second-time purchasers into subscriptions, I'm maybe doing that at like a 20% rate, which is really, really good. That's, so just quick math, if I'm converting 5%, if I had better than a 1% subscription conversion rate, I would beat that 20% re-opt-in rate for subscribers. So I know this is like people listening to this, so the math maybe is a little hard to follow, but what I'm getting at is the work of trying to optimize that funnel is really intensive and really, really difficult. Whereas I know tons of tactics that can improve your first order subscription conversion rate so that it's a lot higher. And then you don't have to go through all that trouble. And then your lifetime value is naturally going to be higher because you're converting people to subscriptions right out of the gate. And then you can go one step further and look at ways of offering like quarterly discount, quarterly subscriptions, or different ways that people can purchase with a gift instead of a discount. And so you can actually enable people that are really seeing value seeking right now. So like that's the trend that I'm seeing with our clients and across a lot of other brands is actually if I show a 1 month, 2 month, and 3 month subscription option above a one-time option, while that feels a little bit like too much information, it actually does boost conversions overall. And then the net benefit to LTV is a lot higher because you'll get some people that are picking the 3 month subscription and the 2 month subscription. And that helps like buoy up against the people that are picking the one time. So there's just things like that, that can be a lot more powerful for how you get people initially. And anyway, that I could continue to go down that rabbit hole. That, I mean, my soapbox is always about the offer. I don't think brands spend enough time trying to figure out or test the offer. Because again, if I can boost conversions at the front by 10%, that's going to have a massive impact to my retention as opposed to say like 3 month, at the 3 month mark, I go from a 60% retention to a 65% retention. That would be considered pretty good. Even if I did a 10%, 60% to 70% month three, that can be impactful. If I get 10% at the front end, that has a downstream effect across my entire retention.
I would love to dive into offers with you in the next couple of minutes, but I've got one more question about kind of where subscription fits before we go into that. So to me, it sounds from what you're saying that we can't slap subscription onto a business with a customer retention problem and expect it to solve our issues. We've almost got to make a decision. Are we a subscription first business or a product sales first business? And then optimize everything in the business accordingly to prioritize one of those two. Because I guess coming back to that whole, you got to recruit the right customers in the first place. Often subscription customer is a very different type of customer to a single purchase customer. So would that be a fair thing to say that if you want to use subscription as part of your customer retention toolset, you've got to make that decision on day one?
Absolutely. You literally took the words right out of my mouth. Like, I mean, there's like, so a great brand here in the US is Obvi, and Ash, when Milani, their CMO, has said, hey, we're not prioritizing for subscriptions. We're prioritizing for first order profitability. Great. So he's not going to be pissed when he looks at his numbers and wonder why his subscription conversion numbers aren't doing well, right? He knows what he's looking at. But then you'll have other founders are saying, hey, we need to prioritize subscriptions. Why aren't we retaining people better? And they have no effort put into like connecting their growth and their retention team. So like one of the biggest mistakes I see is that a brand will be growing effectively. They'll be acquiring tons of customers. They'll have a growth partner who's running all their ads and their creative and testing some offers. And then they'll leave subscriptions up to a retention team, which is often like, you know, a retention marketer, somebody who's good at email. But then a lot of those brands also don't email their subscribers. So because they're worried about churn. So you have this kind of like disconnect where the goals for the company are not aligned with what's actually happening. Like you might want to grow retention and grow subscription revenue, but your growth team is still acquiring, like is still shooting for first order profitability instead of like higher LTV numbers. So just being able to like align all those things, that's where you start to unlock like some really good subscription growth.
So if we've got an aligned strategy that is a subscription first strategy, we're looking for those customers who are going to last with us a long time, who want to sign up to a subscription for our product. You said that I'm slightly paraphrasing you, but fair to say the biggest lever we've got is the structuring of that offer, the first sign up offer. Tell us more about that, please.
Yeah, again, so like just, I'm going to start with just simple numbers here. Like let's say I'm acquiring 100 subscribers a month. And I've got really good retention. I only lose like 10% month over month. So month one, I'm at 100%, 90, 80, right? So 5 months in, I've lost half my subscribers. Okay. Now, if say month two, I double my effectiveness and now I'm retaining instead of 80%, I'm at 85%. Okay. So now I have 85 subscribers instead of 80. I've net gained 5 subscribers. Okay. Now, let's say my conversion rate to get that 100 is at 5% and I go to like 5.5%. So now I'm getting just 0.5% more. I'm getting 10 more subscribers a month. Okay. So that's double the return that I got off of a retention effort. So the whole point is just small tweaks on the offer, let alone big ones, can unlock massive growth. So when we talk about like ads and creative, you'll hear tons of agencies talking about, okay, we need to iterate through more creative because we can find that those home runs. Or at the least you're just finding better doubles and singles, forgive the baseball terminology. But so on the offer, the idea is anything we can do to change the amount of people we're bringing in, and there are actually ways to do that that actually do a better job of retention overall. Like if I sell a quarterly subscription, I get people in for 3 months right out the gate. And if I can get some of my subscribers to start taking that instead of the monthly, then my churn numbers just by default are going to go down. My retention LTV numbers are going up. So the offer needs to be the point of emphasis and is often forgotten because, again, you have a growth team who's running ads and you have a retention team that's just worrying about churn. And maybe you're not thinking like decisively and planning out offer strategies. But if we're offering more things like a gift with purchase or starter kits, or we're offering like 2 month or 3 month or even 6 month subscription options, like right away, we're going to find way. And then also there's the design elements, what we're prioritizing, like, you know, for sleep supplements I mentioned, or, you know, daily vitamins, like what's the cost per scoop, right? Like if we're selling tea or coffee, people love to see how much a cup of coffee costs them, right? They think about things in terms of how often they're going to use it. So there's a lot of different design tricks, ways to prioritize subscriptions. I'm a huge fan of defaulting to the subscription offer, which I know some brands have done and feel like it just spikes their customer service tickets. But usually the mistake is because you didn't do a good job of making it really clear that that was a subscription option. People are always going to miss that just because that's the way it goes. But overall, that's a really, really great tactic, is make people opt out of the subscription as another example. So there's a lot you can do in the offer space. I have a ton of content around it and stuff too, but because it's my soapbox that I jump on all the time, but spending time thinking through the offer is going to go a long way to not only improving how many subscribers you get, but improving how long they stick around.
So you see with a lot of like the menu planning, food box subscription, things like HelloFresh, when you get their postcards through with their offers, they've got like first box this much off, second box this much off. And that delayed gratification of the reward, which I assume as a marketer is based on where they normally see people drop off. You know, they know, they've presumably worked out that you need to get them to have however many boxes to convert them to a unlikely to churn type person. Is that the sort of things we should be considering as we're putting together those upfront offers for the website and for other marketing channels?
Yeah, I love meal plans. I mean, they're really, really difficult and really competitive. So like the margins often can be really really difficult too, but their creativity and offers is, I think, kind of unmatched. And so it's great to kind of learn from those. I think it's also important to call out, like, if I'm going to give away like a free fourth order or something like that, all the people that churn month two don't take it. So I'm not actually losing anything. Like it's more about, oh, wow, once somebody hits month four, they've made this much for my business. I can afford to give them a gift to try to push to get people to that point. So like I call out ButcherBox will often do specials, say around Thanksgiving, it's like free turkey with a subscription, or, you know, free chicken wings for life. I've seen HelloFresh has been doing like free breakfast meals, right? Like if you order this many, you know, dinners and lunches, you get this many breakfasts for this many count of orders. And so the idea is like you're trying to come up with other ways to create incentives. The great lever that everybody uses is our discounts, which are great and they're effective and necessary. And I often have a hard time. Maybe people think that I say don't use discounts. Discounts are just a place to start. If you think about it too, again, if I have a $50 product and I'm doing a 10% discount, I'm giving up $5 of margin. If I want to try to run a special or a sale where I go bump it up to 20%, I'm giving away another $5 in margin. But I have products in my catalog that have a landed cost of $2. Well, it makes more sense from a margin preservation tactic to say, hey, I'm going to do gift with purchase for this type of an offer. I'm going to run a holiday special where it's a gift for everybody that subscribes, gift for lifetime, potentially even as well. Okay, so that actually can not only save margin on that first order, but again, if we get back to this tactic of people that are interested with a free gift as opposed to a discount are typically a different user, right? If I'm buying your protein powder because I'm getting now free glutamine, I'm a totally different user who's just buying because I saw an extra big discount. And the next time there's a discount somewhere else, I'm going to go somewhere else. So it's like, again, just thinking through a few different tactics that enable the right behavior while also making conversions go better.
Got you. Love that advice. And then we mentioned right up front when I said, you know, a SaaS or our product business is better. And you were saying about how SaaS are better at onboarding the customer and looking after the customer. And in the first episode in this series, our guest was talking about how the most important thing, his point was that the most important thing is the first 14 days after someone gives you their right. money. That's the bit you've got to do. So does that hold for subscription as well? Is it that initial window?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, like, okay, we've all subscribed to something in the past that sat on our counter or sat in our bathroom and we didn't use it. And then when we go to cancel, we tell the company we have too much product. The truth is we have too much product because we never opened the box or we never used the box. And so everything that we want to be looking at is creating like great initial experiences. And so you have point of purchase. I'm a huge fan of like post-purchase surveys, getting a little bit more like aspirational information, like are people is buying this for weight loss or trying to take back their life or stress, or like, you know, you can get in a lot of the different reasons in addition to like what brought people to the site today kind of thing. And then an email series, 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6 or 7 emails, because you have usually a 5 to 10 day window with fulfillment and shipping. And that should be like selling them on the product, because even though they bought it, like, okay, well, why is your product different? Why is it important to take it in the morning instead of the evening? Why is it important to like that it comes from Mexico instead of Florida? Or, you know, what makes it special, unique? And then also, what are common questions? And you should know that as you grow, you're going to get tons of people complaining about how the bottle gets opened, all this. One of my favorite experiences was a matcha tea company where I had this little pamphlet that you opened up and it was like how to prepare the perfect cup of matcha. And it just felt like I was at this experience for me. And so that made that really, really special. Another brand that I love is called X-Endurance. They're a supplement brand for like endurance athletes. And they basically give you a challenge right away. They say, hey, you got our product, go do your hard workout for the week, track your effort and time and everything, and then start taking our product for 7 days and then go do that workout again. Because we want to prove to you that our supplement is actually doing its job for you. So anything you can do before or after pictures for like a makeup or a skincare cream, like give people a starting point, make sure that initial experience works really, really well. Even maybe hitting them with an email a day or two after delivery. We have some brands that are doing this as well to try to like, you know, how did it go? Or like, hey, don't forget to keep doing this. You know, sometimes, you know, you maybe need to play with how much you take, like double, if you didn't feel anything, double your dose. So again, it's like trying to get across all that stuff because again, I know it sounds so obvious and it's so cheesy, but people that don't use your product are going to churn. And so if you can't get them using the product and adapting it into their like daily life and their habits, then you've lost them already. So that's kind of the fight. Purchase is the first fight. Getting to use the product is the second fight. And then it's also just kind of managing that. And after that, it's really about finding the people that really love your product and doing a better job of like making them offers and referrals and things like that.
I love those examples you're giving us for the post-purchase, you know, sequencing activity. Two particular things stood out for me in that. One, I love that example of, you know, the before and the after, because not only are you kind of incentivizing them and giving them another reason to actually get it out of the box, but you're also enabling them to prove to themselves that it works. It's like self-social proof, I suppose. So I love that. The other one I like was you mentioned about the matcha tea. And yeah, I definitely fall into the camp of bought matcha tea, stared at it when that looks a bit complicated. And I think both the pot and the whisk are still in the drawer several years on.
Exactly.
So it's definitely one of those products that needs a helping hand. But so often in that scenario, brands would give you a link to a video or a QR code, which is complicated, isn't it? Whereas
it's a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah. Right?
Like when we do an unboxing, like, and often there's a card or an insert, and often the brand is like, they're bragging about how great they are or their community or their reviews. And then that's a link to like you said, FAQs or a video. And I'm just like, okay, or guys, we should just say like how you make the product work, how other people have used it, success stories, best practices. And then the card or link or video is to the community and the how great we are. Or you do a follow-up, right? Because yes, people open it. Make sure that that initial opening, like, should start using it right away. Like, that's what they're excited for. They're opening their present or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I'm there, I'm confused with my matcha tea, and there's a piece of paper that I can follow step by step. And if I want to, I can go and watch the video on YouTube. But I'm in making tea mode. I'm not in finding the phone and trying to get the QR code to work and waiting for the YouTube videos to go past and all this kind of stuff. It's like, you know, make it easy, I suppose, isn't it? It's make it super easy for the customer. Matthew, you've given us so much great advice about subscription already. Have we missed anything that the audience need to know about?
I would just say, like, I think for my personal philosophy, what I've seen be really successful across, again, a lot of different physical goods subscriptions, as well as what the SaaS space does really, really well, is trying to identify. So there's kind of two mindsets. We can either have like a loss mindset where we're just worrying about trying to keep people on their subscription longer, which is good to just maybe uncover problems so that you can fix those problems. But if you're always like loss prevention mindset, you're missing out on this big opportunity to like maximize the value of your super customers, of that 10, 20, 30% of your subscribers that love the product, that would pre-buy a year's worth of supply and give you tons of cash up front that helps your cash flow, would make referrals for you, would buy more from you if you rolled out more and more products. Like that X-Endurance company I mentioned, they were a supplement company that rolled out a skincare. I don't normally buy skincare online, but I trust that brand so much and love their supplements so much. When they announced the skincare, I bought some. And so the idea of like, we're developing products, we're improving customer experience, but we're using all of the feedback from our most valuable customers to develop that, because that's what makes them more profitable. It makes our business more profitable. And so it's kind of a different mindset. And that's where, again, what SaaS does well is SaaS, like say Canva knows that they have a million or 50 million casual users that use it every couple of months when they have like a birthday party and they want to make an invitation, but they're building features for their power users that are paying for the subscription, that are adding their teams and that are using the product like 20 times a day. Like they're building more and more for them because those are the people that, you know, are funding the business. And then it's all about connecting those things. Okay, you come in as a casual user. What are some things I could do to make you maybe more of a serious user? It's like, hey, did you know you can actually also use this for like internal marketing at your company? Or, you know, anyway. So it's like that just that mindset of, don't worry so much about the loss other than to fix things. Start thinking about what you can build and develop. I mentioned gift with purchase. If you're a solo hero company, like you have a hero product, and that's it, you can actually just work at product in development that will be used as a gift or as a retention metric to reward subscribers. Like it doesn't have to be a whole new go-to-market strategy with whole new creative and all this stuff. No, it could just be, we're just going to release this to subscribers and use it as a gift with purchase on our product page. So if you're just thinking through like that kind of mentality, you're going to have some really great success.
Oh, I love that. Those examples and those ideas. Thank you so much, Matthew. It's been great picking your brains about subscription. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Matthew's insider tips on customer retention and my suggestions for more resources to help you improve things even further in your businesses. Founder to founder, are you really sure which of your retention efforts are driving repeat purchases? Or are you just hoping your Klaviyo flows and loyalty programs are doing their job? That's the retention clarity gap, and it's what's holding you back from real, measurable growth. Founders at brands like Health and Heights trust Yocto to cut through the noise and show them exactly what's working. If you're ready to stop guessing and start scaling smarter, go to keepopt.com/Yocto to get a personalized retention playbook that actually makes sense. That's keepopt.com/Yocto. Okay, Matthew, so far we've gone deep into subscription. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of customer retention. So for the following questions, your answers can be anything to do with customer retention, which of course includes all the subscription stuff we've already been talking about. Matthew, are you ready for these?
Absolutely, let's go.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
I think one of the most important things are creating feedback loops. So if you're a small business, you're talking to a lot of customers. If you're the owner, you're probably handling a lot of your customer service tickets. You want to use post-purchase surveys to try to ask people answers. You want to use emails to periodically survey customers or set them up as a flow so that they're hitting in month two or month three. Get feedback around what people like, what they didn't like, what worked, what didn't work, and then everything you can do to understand why they bought. So again, the protein powder is a great example. Are they buying it because they're recently divorced and they're back at the gym and there's something about your brand that felt trustworthy? Okay, well, that person might want to buy more things from you if you understand that use case type as an example. So it's kind of the biggest thing is create feedback loops and just try to build that. Don't keep in mind that like incredible, dynamic, powerful retention is built with time. And so, you know, you want an onboarding flow, you want an automated email to ask for a survey, but then you have to go back to figuring out like how to grow your business. So start with feedback. That's going to be the biggest thing.
Nice. Once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about the offer a ton, and I would spend a ton of time there. I think after the offer, it's really just about, we talked about like onboarding subscribers and getting feedback. When people cancel, they give you feedback. But again, like there's only so many tests you can run to try to prevent cancellations, but you can test a ton from an offer standpoint with copy, with gifts, how much people can buy, discounts, pricing, all those things. And if you go through that, you'll get a little lucky at times and you'll start to unlock like, oh, wow, we went from a 3% subscriber opt-in rate to 10 or to 20 or to 30. It can be really, really impactful.
Excellent. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a newsletter with almost 3 years old now with tons of, we call them weekly doses because I'm the subscription doc, as well as a podcast. It's about a year and a half old as well. You can find it all at thesubscriptiondoc.com for links for it. But I have tons of resources, including some eBooks, you know, PowerPoint slides on offers, all kinds of stuff. I'm a content creator at heart and an educator at heart. So that's the heart of really a lot of what we do.
Excellent. And can you just repeat that URL so everyone's definitely
sure.
Got it?
It's thesubscriptiondoc.com.
There you go, everybody. Go get stuck in to that. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to think about, because especially within subscriptions, a lot of people are talking about, you know, subscription fatigue. You'll see tons of ads for Rocket or this app or that app that cancels subscriptions. I think what's happening though is in the CPG space especially, we're seeing a lot of innovation. Subscription apps are making it really easy for people to not only just manage their subscription, which means they can add things on, they can change frequencies. So I think we're gonna see more and more brands like separate the haves and have nots, like brands that are investing in customer experience, understanding what they can build or enable to make their subscription experience more usable, more user-friendly, are going to see more and more growth and strong retention. And then other brands are going to continue to feel frustrated and have subscriptions might be a loss for them because they are giving away the farm to try to acquire a subscriber that they can't keep.
Ooh, I like that. More customer self-serve, more customer service going on to keep that
right.
Subscription at the, I guess, the cutting edge of subscription functionality.
And you kind of have to, like, the, you know, Europe has been leading the way here, but the US, we're starting to crack down on like subscription management. Like California, you have to be able to one click cancel. There's a lot of things that are happening. So if you think that you can keep hiding things behind this wall that makes it difficult, and that's going to help your retention efforts, like, you know, it's going to be a bad wake up call when you know, you have brands that seem like they let people do whatever they want whenever they want. Well, that's because they know what their customers want. They're rolling out more products, more offers, and more things because they have that interaction and that engagement.
Excellent advice all around. Matthew, thank you so much for being on the show. We are very nearly at the end though. So for those who want to find out more about you and get in contact, where can they do that?
Absolutely. You can find me on LinkedIn or Twitter, Matthew Holman, Subscription Doc, or you can check us out at thesubscriptiondoc.com.
Simple as that, everybody. Matthew, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been great getting a masterclass in what's working in subscription. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Chloe. It's been fun.
So there you have it, everyone. Subscription is not something you can slap on the business to solve a retention problem. You need to decide whether you are focused on recruiting subscribers or recruiting one purchase customers. You need to really focus on optimizing that offer, how you get people signed up in the first place to your subscription. Then make sure you give them a great onboarding experience, whatever that needs to look like for your product. Then learn from the best of your customers. Find out how to recruit more of them and how to wow them and upsell to them and increase their lifetime value. Simple, eh? Loads of tactical ideas there from Matthew. I suspect those of you who are planning on being or are deep into subscriptions are going to be re-listening to that one. Well, you can get our notes on the episode, plus the full transcript and the links by going to keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. That's keepopt.com/the number of this episode. Put that in the URL bar and you'll go straight to the right page on the website. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of our episodes or other things we share to help you with your business. If you've enjoyed this episode, then do check out episode 244, the first one in this mini series, where we're also talking a little bit about subscription as part of your retention strategy, and we're focusing a lot on those first 14 days and the comms you should be sending. Technically, that one's about general retention, but there's a lot that mirrors some of the things that Matthew was talking about. You can find our full thread of customer retention content by either scroll up your feed to catch the recent episodes or use the short link keepopt.com/retention to go to the website page which lists all our previous retention episodes. And finally, please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because we create it to help as many e-commerce marketers as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. So I'd love it if you told more people about the show. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Fix your retention clarity gap now. Get your personalized retention playbook at keepopt.com/yocto.